In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 4. The Bible reads here, "But in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things." And what I want to preach on this evening is the subject of why I love the new IFB. Amen. Why I love the new IFB. Now, when you think of that title, you think to yourself, oh, he's going to mention why we all love the new IFB. But here's the thing, I'm not going to talk about that because obviously we understand that the general reasons why we love the new IFB is because it's King James only, loves soul winning, has the right salvation, hard preaching. And those are definitely reasons, good reasons to love the new IFB. But I'm going to give you my biased opinion on why I particularly love the new IFB. And, you know, what are some reasons that I would pick specifically as to why I admire and love and really love to be a part of the new IFB? Now, you say, why preach a sermon like this? Well, the reason why is because of the fact that recently our church and churches alike, like ours, have been attacked by pastors and churches of this, you know, people who were friends of the new IFB, and they basically defected. They became these new IFB rejects, and they backstabbed a lot of our pastor friends. They backstabbed me. They began to make these railing accusations, and they would often do it under the cloak of, well, you know, the new IFB has a bad spirit, and they would talk negatively about the new IFB. They'd criticize the new IFB, but they would say it in such a general way, you don't really know who they're talking about. You know, they would say it so generally and just kind of not really be specific. They'd be very ambiguous about their statements. But one thing was for sure is that they would say it's the new IFB. Yeah. Well, you know, from here on now, I'm just letting you know that me, Pastor Bruce Mejia, and First Works Baptist Church, we identify as a new IFB church. Yeah. And so what that specifically means is that anytime you refer to the new IFB, even if you don't name a name, I'm just going to see it as though you're talking about me. Because I'm making a public statement saying that I am the new IFB. Yeah, right. My church is a new IFB church, okay? This is what we adhere to. This is what we identify as. So watch your mouth kind of thing, okay? Amen. And so, you know, there's a lot of people who've been attacking our churches and our pastor friends and criticizing us and throwing shade on this great movement. Now, let me just say this, is that obviously there's been multitudes of movements in times past who have done great works for God. You know, they great soul winning works, great preaching works. I mean, they made, you know, eternal history, so to speak, okay? And I'm sure there are groups that no one even knew about. I mean, we wouldn't know about because they're not in the history books. God did wondrous things through those movements, just as he's doing wondrous things through our movement as well. And I'm sure those groups were not perfect, okay? I'm sure they had mistakes because, you know, they're sinners. I'm sure they weren't, you know, perfect. Obviously, no one's perfect. We're sinners, so we're not sinless. But here's the thing: is that I'm sure those movements, even though they had mistakes and maybe they had failures in certain areas because they're sinners, they were still considered a great movement in the eyes of God, and there were still great people who did great works, won a lot of souls to Christ, did great exploits for the Lord, and I believe the new IFB would fall into that category. So I'm not saying that, you know, we're perfect or that we don't make any mistakes. Obviously, pastors and churches make mistakes. But at the end of the day, if you were to evaluate the new IFB as a whole, you would see it's a great movement of God. Amen. Okay? That has done great works. Right. That has won many souls to Christ. That have turned many to righteousness. Amen. And so, you know, before you start listening to these no IFBers, these IFB rejects, And, you know, listening to their criticisms of, oh, how we have a bad spirit and how they just criticize and they're so malicious and venomous and backstabbing. Why don't you go ahead and evaluate the entire movement for what they've done? Okay. You know, why don't you actually listen to the preaching, evaluate the fruit, see how many people get saved, see how many people have been turned to righteousness, and then make your judgment on the new IFB. Let me give you a couple reasons why I particularly love it. Now, the reason that we started off in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 is because the Bible tells us here in verse 4 that we need to prove ourselves as the ministers of God. And one of the approving factors of being a minister of God is not just never having any fights, never criticizing anybody. And in fact, we see that we are approved as ministers of God, verse 8, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report. So a good indicator that we're ministers of God is that we have people for us, but we also have people against us. Yep. When you have a group of people that are for you, that love you, that pray for you, but then you have, you know, these new IFB rejects and no IFBers who don't like you, who bring up an evil report about you. They claim that you're a deceiver, right? They claim you're unknown. They claim that, oh, that movement is dying. That church is dying, okay? And so this is a good indicator that we are ministers of God. Now, go with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter number 1. And of course, I'm particularly referring to a couple pastors here that have been doing this. One in particular, obviously, is Grayson Fritz of All Scripture Baptist Church. And the second one is Tommy McMurtry. And then you have your sub-New IFB rejects such as Boyle and Joe Major and Manly Perry and these other idiots. And so, and by the way, I don't take that back. Amen. You know, and so I know what I said and I back up what I say. Amen. And you know what? You don't have to wonder who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say it clearly enough. Patrick Boyle. Just in case there's another Boyle out there or something like that. Manly Perry. Joe Major. Okay. But let me give you a couple reasons why I love the new IFB. Now, let me just say this, is that when we say the new IFB, we are referring to the New Independent Fundamental Baptists. And the reason that's we're called the new IFB is because of the fact that we are, in a sense, a renewed movement of the old IFB, which is the old Independent Fundamental Baptist. They were basically like a grandfather of this movement. There was a time in times past when Independent Fundamental Baptist preachers preached hard, they went soul winning, they emphasized the things that we emphasized that were King James only. But little by little, they begin to die down a little bit and not necessarily be as zealous and passionate and straightforward. And so what the new IFB is doing is it's a renewed movement of that with some tighter bolts, you understand? You know, we're stronger in our stance for, you know, the King James Bible. We love soul winning, and we preach deep doctrine, okay? That's one of the missing factors and elements of the old IFB is that they weren't necessarily deep in their doctrine. They were great preachers, they were great orators, but they lacked the element of going down deep into the Word of God and studying these things, etc. Now, let me say this, is that I didn't get saved in a new IFB, okay? I got saved in an old IFB church. Now, back then, it wasn't known as old IFB. It was just an Independent Fundamental Baptist church. And that's where I got saved. That's where I heard the gospel. That's where I learned about the King James Bible. That is where I learned about soul winning. That's where I was trained for soul winning. That's where I learned about separation. Everything that I know today, you know, the foundational things, I learned in my old IFB church, okay? Now, here's the thing, is that I learned those things. I was zealous for those things. But after a while, the old IFB, in my opinion, really began to die down in those areas. They weren't really as strong. They didn't really take a strong stance in those areas as in times past, okay? They were still King James only. They still were soul winners. They were still believed in separation, but they didn't really take a strong stand for those things. And when the leadership decides not to take a strong stand on those essentials, you know, the church members are not going to take a strong stand either. They're going to go far below that standard. And so I'll be honest with you, there's a time in my Christian life where I didn't really stand as strong on the King James Bible, you know, as I did in times past on soul winning. And I can literally remember the time when I felt like those passions were dying out in my personal life. I became very apathetic towards those things. And down deep in my heart, I knew that this was right. I knew that the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved word of God. I knew that soul winning was the right way. But because I didn't really necessarily have leaders to reinforce that and help me along the way to learn more about those things, I felt like it was dying out in my life, okay? Which leads me to my first point as to why I love the new IFB. Number one is because it renewed my love for being a fundamental Baptist. Amen. It renewed my love for being a hell-raising, leather-lung, fundamental Baptist.
Amen.
Okay? You know, I remember there was a time when I felt like that was dying out, and a lot of my contemporaries, so to speak, people I went to Bible college with, were going the contemporary way, you know, and I wasn't really interested in that. It looked, seemed kind of gay to me, and I just, like, it didn't appeal to me, so I was kind of, like, in limbo. And I remember, you know, unfortunately in Bible college, they were showing these evangelistic videos, and it was from a guy named Ray Comfort, okay? And I remember we were watching it, and he was like the only one doing confrontational soul winning, you know? Obviously, he's not winning anybody to the Lord. It was confrontational, but he wasn't winning anybody. And I remember on YouTube, I was watching one of his videos, and then, you know, on the right was a little thumbnail of this guy wearing a really big brown suit, okay? And he had like a pulpit, and he just looked wild-eyed. But the thing that caught my eye, other than the big brown suit, was KJV-only preaching.
Amen.
And it said soul winning. And I'm like, whoa, I haven't heard anybody use that term in a long time. Soul winning. So I clicked on it. It was Pastor Anderson. I listened to the sermon and it revived my love for soul winning once again. And I thought to myself, there's more people out there who still love soul winning. You know, there's still people out there who still love to preach the gospel and are not afraid to use the term soul winning.
Amen.
We're not against using evangelism, you know, outreach or whatever. But, you know, I like the term soul winning.
Amen.
As a Baptist, folks, you know, a lot of people, they know that that's associated with being a fundamental Baptist.
Yeah, right.
And of course, you know, I watched that sermon. It renewed my love for soul winning. And then, you know, you got the recommended video on the King James Bible. I listened to that one. I'm like, man, that renewed my love for the King James Bible again.
Amen.
My church in times past was they took a very strong stance on the King James Bible. They're still King James only. But I would say that, you know, they were stronger in times past in that stance. And they loved the King James Bible, and they would preach on it. They would have classes in church for it, so you can learn the history of the King James Bible. And, you know, that kind of died out. And so my pride in the King James Bible began to die out, so to speak, until the new IFB, who renewed my love for being a fundamental Baptist. And here's a silly way to put it. You know, the new IFB made being a fundamental Baptist cool again. It was like, forget these liberal churches.
Amen.
Forget the purple lights.
Yeah,
forget the liberal music and the smoke and the skinny jeans. Let's remain suited and booted.
Amen.
Let's remain conservative. Let's remain holy. Let's stay with the hymns. Let's stay with the King James Bible. Let's stay with biblical outreach known as soul winning.
Amen.
The new IFB renewed my love for being a fundamental Baptist. And I would say that today in 2021, I'm far more a fundamental Baptist today than I was in 2007 when I first got saved.
Amen.
The screws have been tightened a little tighter on soul winning. The screws have been tightened a little tighter when it comes to the King James Bible.
Amen.
When it comes to the biblical separation.
Amen.
And I owe it to the new IFB who taught me and renewed my love and my zeal for these things. You know, the new IFB renewed my love for hard preaching.
Amen.
And to not be ashamed of calling it hard preaching.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
Old IFB, unfortunately, you know, they got away from that. They didn't want to offend people. You know, they kind of just, they didn't want to offend anybody. They felt like people who did that had a bad spirit. We've heard that recently. But the new IFB taught me that hard preaching changes lives. Well, how do you know that? Well, you're looking at one right here. Hard preaching changed my life. I've been preaching God's word for 14 years now. And I'm preaching harder today than I did when I was 21.
Amen.
when I had more vinegar. I'm preaching harder today. I'm standing stronger on these doctrines today than I did back then. Why? Because of the new IFB. Oh, you're just idolizing the new IFB. No, the new IFB stands on God's word, which is something that I do idolize. Yeah, the King James Bible is something that I idolize because it's God's word. KJV only, soul winning, hard preaching, separation. These are the things that were renewed in my life. And I remember kind of being renewed and being revived in these areas, thinking to myself, I never want to change this. And I feel like I was going astray at one point. I was turning to the left at one point. And if it wasn't for that little thumbnail, who knows what would have happened. I'm thankful for it. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. You know what the new IFB did for me? It stirred me up again. Amen. That pot of being King James only. Not Ruckman King James, biblical King James. Amen. That pot of soul winning, that pot of using the Romans road. Amen. Hey, that pot of counting salvations, amen? Yeah. That pot of doing marathons and soul winning and not just leaving a door hanger on a doorknob, but actually knocking on the door, opening your mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Yeah. Renewed my love for that. Amen. It renewed my love for souls. It reminded me that there's still a world that is lost and dying, going to hell. And it's up to us as the ministers of reconciliation to go to them and give them the gospel and get them saved. And then in 2021, it's still possible to do it that way. We don't have to rely on all these tricks to get people saved. We don't have to hold a rock concert to get people saved. You don't have to do door hangers to get a person saved. You can open your mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. You can preach the gospel to every creature. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God to get people saved.
Amen.
That's why I love the new IFB.
Yeah.
Right. It brought these truths that I already knew back into remembrance. You ever read something in the Bible and then, you know, maybe a year later or a couple months later, you just kind of forget about it and someone reminds you and you're like, oh man, I did read that. Yeah. Oh yeah, I do remember that. And it kind of excites you again. That's what the new IFB did to me. 2 Peter 3, verse 1 says this, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You know what the new IFB did? It reminded me that the type of work that we do today is the type of work that the apostles were doing. The disciples in the book of Acts were doing. It reminded me that we're no different from these men. It reminded me that our churches are no different than what we see in the New Testament. It's a reflection of it. It stirred up my pure mind to bring me back into remembrance of soul winning, of being King James only, of hating sin, of hard preaching. All the things that liberal churches and liberalism has sought to remove from fundamental Baptist churches, the new IFB placed in me once again.
Amen.
Go to 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10. I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee into remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Why do I love the new IFB? I love it because it renewed my love for good things. Amen. Oh, it's such a bad movement. Oh, you guys have such a bad... Just look at their fruit. Yeah, look at the fruit of a fundamental Baptist who just got a little more strict on the King James Bible.
Yeah,
look at the fruit of the fundamental Baptist who loves soul winning and leads a soul winning church.
Yeah,
look at the church. Look at the fruit. Look at the spirit of the pastor who preaches hard and has cleaned up people's lives through that preaching.
Amen.
Who has turned people to righteousness because of that preaching. Yeah, look at the fruit. The new IFB renewed my love, and I'm indebted to the new IFB. That's why I love it.
Good.
That's why when I run into people who are new IFB, it's like kindred spirits.
Yeah.
I love the new IFB because it renewed my love to be a fundamental Baptist again. But not only that, I love the new IFB because it connected me with religious zealots. You guys. Religious zealots. I want to be around zealous people. I don't want to be around lukewarm people. I like being around, the only time I want to be around lukewarm people is when they are becoming zealous. Amen. When I can influence them to become zealous for the Lord. But I want to be connected to religious zealots, extremists. Look at 2 Kings 10, verse 15. He says, and when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. I think I was like Jehonadab at one time. And he saluted him and said to him, is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. If it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up into his chariot. And he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. And they sang liberal songs. And they had smoke and purple lights. And they put door hangers on doors. And they had a homeless ministry. And fundraisers. Verse 17, and when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Lord which he spake to Elijah. Yeah. So when he said, come and see my zeal for the Lord, he's basically telling him, just watch me wipe these guys out. Watch me just take out and just fulfill the commandments of God. Amen. That's what he's telling him, because God commanded him to rid, you know, the house of Ahab, of all the sons, to destroy them all. That's what he commanded Jehu to do. And so when Jehu went to Jehonadab, he said, come and see my zeal for the Lord. He's saying, come see me fulfill the commandments of God.
Yeah, amen.
Come see me just leave nothing undone, fulfill the commandments of God, obey the Lord, see my zeal for God. I'm glad Jehonadab went into the chariot.
Yeah.
I'm glad he wasn't like, I don't know, I haven't really been on a chariot in very long. Is it safe on there? You know? Are there bumpers on the side, safety bumpers? Jehu came and said, is your heart right as my heart is with thy heart? That's a challenge.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, it is. He's all right, come on. See my zeal for the Lord. Jehu is like the new IFB to me.
Yeah.
Who came into my life and they said, come and see my zeal for the Lord.
Amen.
And now I got my own chariot. Go to Titus chapter 2. I love new IFB because it connected me to religious zealots. People who are passionate for the things of God. People who I don't have to worry about after Sunday morning service if, you know, Ray's going to come up to me and say, hey, did you catch the Laker game? He's not going to come up to me and condemn me for bringing up a Bible verse about a thought that I have. He's not going to judge me in a negative way for wanting to talk about the Word of God.
Right.
Why? Because it's the norm here.
Right.
We can talk about religiously zealous things in the house of God as it should be. Folks, what we have here is not common. It's common amongst our church friends, but it's not common amongst independent fundamental Baptist churches. Independent fundamental Baptist churches are filled with people who just want to come to church to alleviate their conscience and just go home. If you bring up biblical topics, oh, you're just trying to be spiritual or something. Yeah. Can you help me out? Can we, like, talk about the Bible? Is that weird or something? But they want to talk about sports. They want to talk about the Lakers. They want to talk about the Dodgers. They want to talk about what else? What other sport is there? Football. Carnal. Just kidding. Football. I'm just joking. They want to talk about things that don't pertain to the things of God. And look, I'm not saying there's not a place for that, but I'm thankful that I'm around people who are zealous.
Yeah.
Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself, look what it says, a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
Amen.
He's not saying just a segment of the church should be like that. He says, I want my people to be zealous of good works.
Amen.
I want them to do good unto all men, but especially they of the household of faith. I want them to preach the gospel to every creature. I want them to have a heart for souls.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. I was telling my wife this the other day. You know, I kind of always felt in the old IFB, it's kind of like the black sheep. You know, I was always kind of getting in trouble just because I was kind of overly zealous sometimes. And you know, people just kind of knew me as just like, he's like the black sheep. He loves the Lord. You know, he's a good guy, but he's just kind of, he's a little too crazy. This is literally how I was known, okay? And I told my wife, I said, look, I know maybe people in your family or maybe, you know, people, they would love for us to go back to that. But I said, I am where I belong, though. Like, I have to be around people who are like me.
Yeah, right.
I have to be around, you know, like, people, you know, like, these IFB rejects, they're like, oh, these people are so crude and they're so rude and they're so this and that or whatever, you know. For me, it's just like, you know, if you can't handle it, get out the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why are you so sensitive?
Yeah.
I feel like these are the kind of people I need to be around. I need to be around real people,
yeah,
right? I need to do ministry with real people. I need my pastor friends to be real people.
Amen.
Zealous people. Not perfect people. Zealous people.
Amen.
Yeah.
People who are passionate for the things of God. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I am where I belong. Amongst people, amongst the movement, who are just crazy religious zealots.
Amen. Right.
They look at my pastor, people look at my pastor, and he's like, those people are crazy. And I'm like, yeah, but that's a good thing, though. That's who I'm comfortable around. Oh, but you guys are so crass, though. I mean, sorry. I mean, what do you want me to do? This is how I am. This is how my people are. I mean, what do you want us to do? And look, you get what you are, not what you want. Amen?
Amen.
So people who are at this church, you guys are here under my leadership. Because you're probably a little rough too.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm not that rough. I'm just not used to that. Then we'll help you become a religious zealot.
Yeah. Amen.
A zealous Christian will provoke many people. It'll inspire people. Zealous Christians inspire people. Always. Whether they tell you or not. You will always inspire someone, whether they tell you or not. I've had people tell me, like, you know, that's Steven Anderson. Don't agree with him. But, man, he loves souls. Man, he sees a lot of people saved, though.
Yeah. Yep.
You trying to tell me they don't inspire them? That he doesn't inspire them? I've known of churches, old IFP churches, that have changed their soul winning because of churches like us. Because
yep.
We provoke very many. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything, the Bible tells us. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. The church at Thessalonica were so zealous, they were so involved in God's work that message sounded abroad. People heard of the work that was being done and inspired them. And look, I'm not looking to get the old IFB all the way to where we're at. I'm not trying to get them to where we're at. I'm trying to get them to move a little closer. And you know what? If they move a little closer, I feel like we succeeded. I mean, I had someone literally this month tell me, someone who did not believe in the reprobate doctrine like me, tell me, I now believe the reprobate doctrine. Great. Now, if we could just get you to hate homos, then we're in. Look at 2 Timothy 2:20. It says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Look what it says in verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Look what it says. With them, they call on the Lord out of a pure heart. God wants you to do this with them. With who? With them. With them. With them. He wants us to be connected to religious zealots. Now, obviously, you know, we look at this as like, this isn't being religiously zealous. You know, this is just normal Christianity. Following righteousness, faith, charity, peace. Yeah, but to them out there, it's like you're just a religious zealot. Living a holy life, wearing a shirt and tie on a Sunday morning. Carrying your Bible, waking up in the morning to read your Bible and pray and go soul winning and taking your family and doing all these things. It seems like a zealous thing to do. You're like, you're nuts for doing that. This is just normal for us. But the Bible tells us here that he wants us to do it with a group of people who are also following after righteousness. Amen. Folks, you want to be righteous? Hang around with righteous people. Amen. You want to increase your charity? Hang around with charitable people. You want to have peace? You hang around with people who have the peace of God that passeth understanding. Go to Acts chapter 2. Oh, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 10. I love the new IFB. I love it because it renewed my love for being a fundamental Baptist. I love it because it connected me with religious zealots. I'm thankful that I can go to any of our new IFB churches, Pastor Jimenez's church, Verity Baptist Church, Sure Foundation Baptist Church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, Stronghold Baptist Church, Shield of Faith Baptist Church, Steadfast Baptist Church. And you know what? It's like home.
Amen.
It's like home.
Yeah.
We went to the fire-breathing Baptist Fellowship. It was like home. We're just hanging around people who joke like us, you know, who love doctrine, love the Bible. You know, they're just as zealous as you are.
Amen.
It's family. They're the people who are also following after righteousness.
Right.
We hate false prophets. We hate false doctrine. We love righteousness. We love the hymns. We love getting people saved. We love hard preaching. I love the fact that my church members love Pastor Jonathan Shelley. And I think it's great that Pastor Shelley has people who listen to me. How do you know that? There's two right there. Right there, those two right there. Manny, raise your hand. Look at that religious zealot over there. It's like the second time he's been here in the last couple months, dude. The guy's crazy. I love my religiously zealot pastor friends. I like that they're crazy. Who doesn't like that Pastor Anderson has been on the news? Saying some crazy stuff. Old IFB, look at that, and they're just like, oh. I look at that, I'm just like, that's cool. That's great. When we were on the news on Fox 11, you had one half saying, I can't believe it. Other half are like, man, that look awesome.
Yeah.
You say, who are the other half? The religious zealots.
Yeah.
I love the new IFB. I love it because, number three, because of the genre of converts. The new IFB reaches so many people.
Yeah.
They get so many people saved. But not just so many people saved, they get so many different types of people saved. You go to your typical independent fundamental Baptist churches, it's like they're all white people, gray-headed white people. No offense to my white folks out there, Sarah. My wife's white. You know, They only have like one. In New IFB, they have like everything. They reach gangsters, former rappers, doctors, Terminators. Everything. Tattoo artist. I mean, everything that you can think of, they've reached everyone. And you know why? Like, why is that? Why is so, are so many people attracted to the New IFB from different genres? I'll tell you why, because the New IFB is real.
Amen.
And these people perceive the love of God.
Amen.
We reach people who are pierced from head to toe, tatted from head to toe. That's a great thing.
Amen.
Look at Acts chapter 10. Verse 10, he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of the four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I'm only supposed to have white people in my church. Only Jews in my church. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. God is chastising Peter, saying, "Hey, you need to reach other people other than Jews. Go reach other nations, the Parthians and the Medes and those of Cappadocia and Bithynia, Galatia. You need to go out there and reach people, because I don't care about their skin color. I care about their souls. I want all types of people to get saved. Doesn't matter who they are, where they're from, what background they have. That's what he's interested in. Their souls. I was told in Bible college, Brother Mejia, if you ever become a pastor, you're going to pastor a Mexican church. He says, white people probably won't follow you. But here's the thing. You know, I married a white girl. And she has to follow me, you know, to start a church. There's two white people right here. Yeah, Jordan, you. Got a white person there. Got some white people over here. Oh, that dude's white. There's a lot of white people in our church. There's not only white people, there's everything. White, right there. Let me see. Did I miss any other white people? What else? I already said Cody. You want me to say it twice? Oh, Jason.
The whitest.
Clear. Russians, Armenians, Mexicans, Filipinos, Assyrians. What else? Blacks. We got black people in our church. Yes, we got black people in our church, too. Where's Maury? Maury's black? Yes. Belizean. The genre of converts. You go to the different churches of our movement, of the New IFB, you'll find a slew of different people. Russians. You know, you'll find Hispanics. You'll find people from Africa. Everything. Why? Because God wants us to do that.
Yeah.
Old IFB had this mentality. It's just like, well, Mexican has to pastor a Mexican church. A black guy has to pastor a black church. What? Okay, Peter. Preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
And not just different colors, but even different walks of life.
Right.
Go to 1 Peter chapter 4, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 4. I love the New IFB because it has reached a slew of different people from different categories, different backgrounds, different races, different ages.
Yeah.
We got a Tunisian back there. Does anybody know where Tunisia is? I mean, from all different walks of life. I love the New IFB. I love it, number four, because it normalized and exalted talking about doctrine.
Amen.
It normalized and exalted talking about doctrine. And not just like John 3:16.
Right?
Yeah. Right? We're talking about Zechariah.
Yeah.
Revelation, Daniel.
Right.
Aside from the fact that we preach it from the pulpit, I'll come down and someone will come up to me and say, hey, let's talk about this verse. And he's not being a holier, a hyper-spiritual person. It's like he has some substance to it. What do you think about this? And we'll interpret doctrine, we'll exalt doctrine. And it's not something that people are ashamed of in our church.
Yeah.
Oh, what a horrible movement. Oh, man, you guys are so mean-spirited and vicious and malicious and delicious. But yet, what are we doing after church? We're talking about doctrine. We're exalting doctrine. I'm never going to come. If you ever come to me with a question about doctrine, I'm not going to look at you all weird. Excuse me? Didn't you get enough during the preaching? People come to me, I have a question about the Bible. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Pockets of people gather together in our church, and they discuss end times Bible prophecy. The Armenians talk about the Jews. Replacement theology. It's normal, but it's not only normal, it's exalted. Look what the Bible says in 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I mean, isn't this the house of God?
That's right.
Why should it be a weird thing to talk about the Bible in the house of God?
Right.
Should be a normal thing.
Amen.
Whereas in other churches, it's almost like a shameful thing. You know, you kind of look down upon. You're kind of criticized for doing that. Not here. It's normalized here. You know what I like? I like the fact that I can pick up the phone, I can call one of my pastor friends, and literally just talk about the Bible. Hey, what do you think about this passage? This is my interpretation. Let me know what you think about this. And it's like, yeah, I definitely see it from your point of view. I've always thought that this way. And we just talk about the Bible. You say, well, do you guys ever talk about like anything else, like sport? No, it's just like, all right, cool. Well, talk to you later. That's literally what we do.
Amen.
That's not normal. It's biblically normal.
Amen.
And look, I'm not saying we walk around like just like 24 hours a day only talking about the Bible, folks. We talk about other things. Don't take me out of context. I'm saying that in our church, it's just normal to talk about the Bible.
Amen.
It's exalted. It's something that's emphasized. It's not something that we look down upon. Oh, but you guys are so mean-spirited. You guys are just so this and that. Well, then why are so many people talking about the Bible in our church? Why? If they're so malicious, why aren't they talking about like the satanic Bible or something? If they're so venomous and malicious and angry and mean-spirited, why aren't they talking about like murder? You know, and Halloween and... Right? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
Amen.
Yeah, right. So whatever's in the heart is what comes out.
Right.
And if the Bible's coming out in conversation, that tells you what's in the heart.
Yeah.
Go to Ezekiel 22. I love the new IFB. I love it because they made it normal and they exalted talking about doctrine in churches. Not only that, I love the new IFB. Listen to this, because they are in the hottest part of the battle.
Amen.
Never really met a group like this before. Never really met a group of Christians that have attacked the gates of hell with such fervor and tenacity as the new IFB. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, because I'm only 35 years old. I'm sure in times past, hundreds of years ago, many movements have existed. I'm just saying in my generation.
Amen.
This is a movement that is in the hottest part of the battle. And why wouldn't you want to be among soldiers who are in the hottest part of the battle? Those are the people who are the most bold,
right,
tenacious, strong, filled with the Spirit. I mean, these are some pretty awesome people. Look what the Bible says in Ezekiel 22, verse 29. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Therefore have I poured out my indignation upon them, I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their head, saith the Lord God. God is always looking for a man to stand in the hedge and make up the gap. Thankfully that in 2021, you have more than just a man. You actually have churches that do this, who are willing to literally put their lives at risk for the truth. Men and women who literally are willing to put their lives at risk, their jobs at risk, their reputation at risk for what? For the truth.
Yeah.
Folks, there's not many churches who are willing to do something like that. The New IP is in the hottest part of the battle.
Amen.
Hey, Pastor Jonathan Shelley is in the hottest part of the battle right now.
Yeah.
He's being attacked every single week. From different angles, from false brethren, from the haters of God. Yeah, that's someone I want to be friends with.
Amen.
That guy is on the forefront fighting the battle.
Yeah.
I want to be next to that person. Because he's standing in the gap.
Amen.
You know what the greatest thing about it is? He's not folding.
Amen.
Not folding. See, it's one thing to fight in the battle. It's another thing when the guy doesn't fold.
Yeah.
He just keeps going. First Works Baptist Church has been in the hottest part of the battle.
Amen.
So hot that the church blew up. But you know, we didn't fold.
Amen.
We didn't fold. I love the New IFB because a lot of men hate them. They're hated. The New IFB is hated. And it's not just hated by the reprobates, they're hated by like other Christians, which the Bible says would happen. And when you investigate why these brethren hate us, there's never a valid reason. It's always ambiguous. It's never clear.
Right.
There's never real any evidence. So we come to the conclusion that it's envy.
Yep.
I love the New IFP because it's in the hottest part of the battle. And why, if we only have one life to live, folks, if there's only one life to live, if we're only going to be here once, why not fight in the hottest part of the battle? Go to 2 Samuel, chapter 16. I love the New IFB. So if you talk about the New IFB, you're talking about me. I love the New IFB. We love the New IFB. So when you talk about the New IFB, you're talking about, they're talking about you.
Yeah, that's right.
Talking about us as a church.
Yep.
Why do I love the New IFB? I'll tell you why, and I mentioned this already to a certain extent, but we're going to go more in depth into this. Because the New IFB, you know, they aren't a bunch of fakes and phonies.
That's right.
They're just not fakes and phonies. They're real. They are willing to tell you like it is. They're willing to give you the truth by any means necessary. They won't lie to you. They won't try to deceive you. They'll just plainly tell you what the truth is. The Bible says in Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We don't leave people in obscurity.
Right.
We say what we mean, and we mean what we say.
Amen.
I don't like to preach a sermon, and then you wonder, who is he calling out?
Yeah.
I'll just tell you. You're like, so who's this particular sermon right here, Pastor Me? What is this in response to? Grayson Fritz.
Amen.
Tommy McMurtry.
Yeah.
The New IFB, or the New IFB Rejects.
Amen.
The No IFBers.
Amen.
The Patrick Boyles.
Yep.
These users and backstabbers and abusers. That's who I'm talking about.
Amen.
Just so there's no question in your mind.
Yeah. Right.
I wonder who he's talking about. There it is. But in particular, obviously, you know, Grayson Fritz is the one that I'm really talking about. Because recently, Grayson Fritz has just gone on this rampage of just attacking the New IFB. and making railing accusations against the new IFB. Yeah. And folks, we know the severity of a railing accusation. Yeah. A railing accusation will get you kicked out of church. Yeah. So when a pastor, an ordained minister of the gospel who has a church, decides to bring forth railing accusations against other people, churches, and pastors, that's a grievous sin that needs to be addressed. Look at 2 Samuel 16. Now, you know, last week he was a little more bold than usual. And, you know, he made a response video and he said my name and my pastor's friend's names that he wants nothing to do with us. But before, he was just kind of casting stones from afar. And then, you know, I remember, you know, he was preaching some sermons and one of my pastor friends said, man, he's preaching against you. And this is literally what I said. That's my boy. Why would Fritz preach against me? We're like friends. I'm like, nah, dude. You're tripping. He's like, he's preaching against you. I was like, all right. And me and my lover of confrontation called him right then and there. I said, hey, what's up? Hey, are you preaching against me? I heard that you preached a sermon and you're like calling me out and you're preaching against me. Is that true? No. No, that was someone else. I'm talking to my church members. Oh, okay. All right. I was just checking. How's the family? It's like, because I'm just a confrontational person like that. It's not that I love confrontation. I just love resolution. Amen. That's what I love. And confrontation is necessary to resolve things. But then he began to get more bold, and as of recent, last week, he preached a sermon where he is bad-mouthing the new IFB, even to the point where he makes this railing accusation about a pastor in the new IFB who condones a man praying for the death of his ex-wife so that he can become a pastor and that the pastor of that church won't say anything to him. I mean, this is very elaborate. So I was like, whoa, that's grievous. If that's true, that's a grievous thing, yeah. So who is it? Because that's really grievous. I mean, as far as I can remember, you know, Grayson Fritz still believes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sure he's dealt with railers in his church. And I'm sure he went about it the right way, as in when there's a railer, there has to be two witnesses. Evidence has to be present. If one person comes to him accusing him of these things or accusing another person of this, he's not just going to accept it at face value. There needs to be evidence. I'm sure that's what he believes. I'm sure 1 Corinthians 5 is still in his King James Bible. I'm sure he believes in church discipline still, I think. So let's just hold him to that same standard. So Grayson Fritz, you know, the way you have may have church discipline some people in times past for railing, and you just investigated, you looked at the evidence, and based upon the clear evidence, the two witnesses, three witnesses that you had, you excommunicated someone out of your church. Well, in like manner, who are the witnesses to what you're saying? Where's the evidence for this railing accusation against the pastor who's supposedly permitting this in his church? It's not necessarily a challenge. It's just a normal question, really. Look at 2 Samuel 16, verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. Didn't one of my friends preach a sermon about staying away from Saul?
Yeah.
I think one of my friends preached that recently, right?
Yeah.
Amen.
And if I'm not mistaken, Saul in that sermon was referring to Tommy McMurtry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I misinterpret that? Is that a railing accusation? Well, now we're not talking about Saul, though. This is a man who came out from the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David, and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man. Look what he says here, thou man of Belial. Folks, a man of Belial is referring to a reprobate.
Yeah.
This is a railing accusation against King David.
Yeah, right.
King David's a saved man. He's a son of God.
Right.
In fact, he is a symbolic representation of the Son of God. Yet Shimei is casting stones, calling him a bloody man, you know, because he's fighting the wars of God.
Right. Yeah.
He's fighting the wars of God, putting people to death that God told them to put to death,
Amen.
Fulfilling the commandments of God, and he's saying, you're a bloody man. You're just mean-spirited. Thou man of Belial, this railing accusation, where are you getting that from? The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. Oh, yeah, you guys got blown up because you deserve it. That's what Michael Johnson said.
Yeah.
In whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. I'm sure they're saying the same thing about Pastor Shelley and what's going on with him. This is what you get, Pastor Shelley. This is what you get, Pastor Aaron Thompson. God's returning upon you all the wickedness that you've done. Let's just read verse 9 because I really like it. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. He's like, why are we letting him do this? Why don't we just go over there and just decapitate him? You know? These sons of Zeruiah were pretty crazy. And obviously, David did not condone it. I'm just saying, you know, it's good to have men like this around, okay? Makes a man feel better. But Shimei is not coming to David and saying, hey, stop, I need to talk to you. I think you're a bloody man and you're a son of Belial, and this is the reason why. No, instead, he's such a little wuss that he stands afar off and he casts stones at David from afar off. Because he knew that if he got in close range to David's sword, David would slay him and chop him to pieces.
Amen.
And possibly the sons of Zeruiah as well. Yeah. But he's making these railing accusations for David being a bloody man because he's fighting the wars of God. And you know what? The same thing goes for Grayson Fritz making these railing accusations against the new IFB for being mean-spirited. Who are we being mean towards? The reprobates? Who are we being mean towards? The haters of God? And he claims in this video, he says, they call saved men unsaved and reprobates. When, that, by the way, which is another railing accusation.
Yeah.
When have we, me, Pastor Anderson, or anybody in the new IFB ever said that this saved man is an unsaved person or a reprobate? Never. Have you ever heard of anybody doing that?
Nope.
It's a railing accusation. But he wants to cast stones and make these claims that we're bloody, that we're just so malicious. Malicious towards who? The false prophets? Yeah.
Amen.
I hate false prophets.
Right.
You're so vicious. Against who? Reprobates? Yeah.
Amen.
You're so mean-spirited. Well, first of all, I don't have an average spirit. But if you're saying that I'm angry, yeah, I'm angry against the sodomites, yeah.
Amen.
I'm angry against false doctrine, yeah. I'm angry against railing accusations, yeah. I get angry when people backstab other people, yeah.
Right.
But Shimei wants to make this comparison. You're a bloody man. Yeah. Want to make, you're a bloody man. Oh, you're a son of Belial. Turns his comments off.
Yeah.
Folks, I never turn off my comments. Why? It's good for the watch. And the truth fears no investigation.
Amen.
The truth fears no investigation.
Amen.
That's why we just fly off the handle every Sunday. Because we don't care what you say because we're preaching the truth.
Amen.
We want everyone to know it. We're not trying to hide everything. You know, like Manly Perry.
Yep.
Who literally will preach a sermon and will not upload it for like 2 months or something. Because he's afraid that people will watch it. And then people watch it, they start criticizing, and then he puts it on private. Because he doesn't want anybody to find out that he's a damnable heretic.
Right.
Even though everyone already knows it, Grandpa. But Shimei, and by the way, if they're referring to me calling Manly Perry an unsaved reprobate, yeah, guilty as charged.
Amen.
But here's the difference. He's not saved.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
When you're teaching crazy damnable heresy about Jesus Christ,
right.
saying that Mary had a bun in the oven, weird stuff about just the deity of Jesus Christ. At that point, you're a damnable heretic, Grandpa.
Amen.
Come out, that bloody man. He's calling out the new IFB in his video. And then when we respond, oh, they're attacking me. They're so malicious and vicious and all this stuff. It's like, well, you asked for it. It's like these kids in the playground who do that.
Yeah.
I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you, I'm not touching you. And when you just slap them, they go tell the teacher on you. Did you slap Grayson? Yeah, but he hit me first, though. Like, Shimei is a coward. Shimei is casting stones from afar. Shimei, it preaches ambiguous sermons against the new IFB because he wants people to think that he's preaching against the new IFB, but when the new IFB pastors get involved, oh, it was one of my church members. So do you, like, hate your church members? You seem to have a hard time with your church members. Like, if we're to apply what you just said to, like, every single time you preach, it sounds like you don't get along real well with your church members. And here's the thing. You know, let's see if he says that this time around. It's like, well, aren't you the pastor? If you're talking to your church, would that mean that you're the pastor who's condoning of this? Shimei is casting stones from afar. He's making these railing accusations. And, of course, we know what happens to Shimei in the long run. God recompenses him back on his head. Tonight I'm marking Grayson Fritz, pastor of All Scripture Baptist Church, for bringing a railing accusation against me and our church.
Amen.
He's marked.
Amen.
Let me read this to you. This is his quote, okay? Since I've been involved in this 4 years ago in this goat roping known as the new IFB, I've ran across people that are proven liars. Proven. People that are backstabbers. Didn't you do that? People that are gossips, isn't that what you're doing? And you preach to these people over and over and over again to fix their problem and fix their relationships and fix their issues, but they disregard everything you say. But you can bet your last dollar that they will show up to every soul winning event, every marathon from here to Timbuktu. By the way, we should have a soul winning marathon in Timbuktu. He says, new IFBers are some of the nastiest, crudest, most unmerciful, venomous people, but everyone talks about their soul winning, don't they? Isn't that a weird statement to make?
Yep.
What does that have to do with anything? He says, everyone talks about their soul winning, don't they? Are you, like, mad that people talk about their soul winning? Or are you mad that you think that they're cruel and venomous and all these other things? By the way, folks, let me just explain something to you. This is called projecting. They can treat others like garbage. They can be unforgiving. They can behave themselves poorly online. By the way, where was this sermon on? Online.
Yep.
They can backstab, they can gossip and lie. But hey, at least there are winning souls to Christ. And then he says this, there's another church. I'm not going to mention the name of the church. By the way, this is a major old IFB thing. Old IFB used to do this and he used to anger me like crazy. I don't want to say any names. I don't want to say it. Why? Then why even tell me? There is another church. I'm not going to mention the name of this church. There's divorced guys, plural, in this church. And they pray for the death of their ex-wives so that they can become pastors. They pray for their ex-wives to die so they can be pastors, folks. That is bizarre. Their pastor knows about it and says nothing to them. So when you hear that, it's just like, you know, whoa, that's crazy. That's bad. And you know what? If this was true, I'd agree with him. Yeah, man, that's wicked. Wicked! That's evil! We should call this guy out! Let's find out who it is. Hey, text me, Grayson Fritz, the name of the person. If you don't want to, I'll do it for you. Send a little message, an anonymous. Let's get an anonymous tipster out there to call in. You don't have to, give your name, what church you're from. Just we know it's Grayson. And he'll call in, and he can tell us the name of the pastor. Because if Grayson doesn't want to go after him, I'll go after him. Because this is grievous. This is unacceptable. This is wicked. But he doesn't want to say who it is. Why? Because that pastor doesn't exist. Because no one teaches that. And this is why he's being marked by your church tonight. Grayson Fritz is marked by us. We're marking him and all Scripture Baptist Church. And by the way, I'm also not interested in being associated with or have any type of friendship with those who defend this fool. So if you're for Grayson Fritz, bye. See ya. I have no desire to fellowship with you. Grayson Fritz fits the exact description that he claims the new IFB is. He's actually the unforgiving one. He's the one who's nasty. He's the one who's venomous. He's the one who has backstab. And he's the one who is gossiping right now. He claims that the new IFB has a bad spirit, even though this isn't really even a biblical concept. He states, I don't like the fact that they attack men of God, while of course he's attacking men of God. So apparently he's the only one who's allowed to do that. He makes the railing accusation that we call saved men unsaved and reprobates. He states that people who make memes online do not exhibit good Christian character, while bypassing the fact that he made a railing accusation that merits expulsion from church. Forget the memes. What about the railing accusation? He states that Pastor Anderson claims that Fritz is pretending to be his friend, then states, I'm not their friend, don't want to be their friend, I don't want anything to do with them, of course, after he got ordained. After he got a church. After he was promoted by Pastor Anderson and the other churches. He claims to not want anything to do with the new IFB, but can't seem to keep his mouth shut about it. It's kind of weird. For someone who hates and wants nothing to do with the new IFB, you sure do talk about them quite a bit. When confronted about his railing accusation and challenged to provide evidence, instead of clearing the air and naming the names, he decides to talk about why he hates the new IFB. Buddy, we already know you hate it. It's not a surprise to us. You're not sharing anything new. He states in his video that there is so much more that he could say, but he chooses not to. And by the way, Tommy McMurtry is another one. And I want nothing to do with Tommy McMurtry and Liberty Baptist Church, too. I don't care for the gently led sisters. Or whatever sermons that he preached or whatever. You say, why? Well, because Tommy McMurtry made this statement when talking about the new IFB, where he stated, yeah, they're right on Israel. Yeah, they're right on, you know, end times Bible prophecy. And he says this, and I quote, and unfortunately, they're right on repentance. Unfortunately? Right. Folks, when we talk about the old IFB, one thing we say is, fortunately, they're right on salvation. Because we want people to be right on salvation. It's a wicked thing to not want them to be right on salvation. And even the people that we would even like get along with or agree with that's old IFB, if we found out that they're preaching the real gospel, we're like, well, that's a good thing at least. Man's saved. The man is preaching the right gospel. Amen. It's not an unfortunate thing to be right on repentance. But it's unfortunate for you if you want us to be the bad guy. Because is that being stated because you want us to be the bad guy? And let me just make myself very clear. I want no agreement with you. I want nothing to do with you. I don't want nothing to do with your church. We're not going to make any peace treaties. I just stay away from me. That's it. Don't talk about the new IFB. Don't talk about me. Don't talk about my friends. Don't talk about Pastor Thompson. Don't talk about my sending pastor, Pastor Anderson. Don't criticize Jonathan Shelley. Don't badmouth the people that I associate with who are new IFB, and everything will be hunky-dory.
And we'll wave at each other in heaven.
I want nothing to do with them. Folks, I thought the Bible still says against an elder receive not an accusation.
Yeah, that's right.
But before two or three witnesses. Because he's talking about a pastor. Yeah. I'm talking about Fritz. He's talking about a pastor. So that means he received an accusation from someone, if that's where he's getting it from. Right. Or if, I mean, he could be making it up himself, but I don't know. I'm not going to make that claim because I don't know. But if he's receiving it from someone else, the Bible tells us to not receive that accusation unless there's hard evidence for that.
Right.
And let me make myself very clear. Anybody online who wants to criticize the new IFB and stand with these people, and you start criticizing the new IFB and that's the way you stand with them, okay, then you're targeted.
Yep. Right.
You're marked.
Yep.
I'll unsubscribe from your channel. Go for it.
Amen.
You feel like... We shall destroy his empire by unsubscribing from his channel. Well, 1 Corinthians 5 is still there.
Amen.
And it tells us if any man that is called a brother, then let me ask you, is Grayson Fritz called a brother?
Yep. Yeah,
because he's saved. As far as I know, he's saved.
Yeah.
I believe he's saved. Calls himself a brother. Bible says, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Bible says, stay away from them. And he's not the exception to the rule.
Amen.
Folks, if I ever make a mistake preaching and someone approaches me about it, even if it's an enemy, I will correct it. Because I want to have integrity in my preaching. I remember a couple years ago, I preached a sermon, and I was ripping on Eric Ballesteros, and I just out of zeal, I was like, if you doubt your salvation, you're not even saved, because I just went overboard. Someone approached me online about it, and immediately I uploaded a video to clarify what I meant and to correct that, because I want to preach right. I don't want to be ambiguous about what I say. I'm not trying to leave people in obscurity or in darkness or in doubt. I'm a preacher of God's word. I'm the man of God. My job is to clarify what the Bible says.
Amen.
So if I make a mistake, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to clear it up. Say, I'm wrong. This is right. There we go. And if I'm marking someone from my church or marking someone from a different church, I'm not going to leave you in obscurity of who I'm talking about. I love the new IFB because of preaching like this.
Yeah.
That's why I love it, because it's real. And lastly, I love the new IFB because the men and women of the new IFB are of like passions. Because, you know, we're no different than the old IFB in the sense of we suffer too. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. There's marital problems sometimes. There's child-rearing problems sometimes. There's relational problems sometimes. There's battles within, right? There's people who struggle with sin. There's people who get discouraged. They get depressed. They get disillusioned. They struggle in the Christian life.
Yeah.
We're of like passions. Like, we struggle with the same things. The old. It's not like we became new IFBs. It's just like we never even mess with those things. God protects us from all. No, we suffer in like manner as all our other brethren suffer.
Amen.
We go through financial woes, health woes, heartbreaks, tears. We suffer.
Yeah.
It's just that we also do these other things too.
That's right.
So, you know, we have the fightings within and without, and we have the care of all the churches too.
Yeah.
We just choose to do it all.
Amen.
And I'm thankful that I am friends with churches like Verity Baptist Church.
Amen.
I'm thankful I'm friends with churches like Sure Foundation Baptist Church, Shield of Faith Baptist Church.
Amen.
Shout out to Joe Jones, Pastor Joe Jones.
Right.
You know, Stronghold Baptist Church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, Steadfast Baptist Church, Mountain Baptist Church. Who else? Am I missing anybody else? What? Hold Fast Baptist Church, Pastor Jared Pozarnski. We're taking over California. Amen.
Amen.
You know, all the Sure Foundations.
Yeah.
I don't even want to name them all. all over the world. UK, Sure Foundation, Brother Ian. Yeah, Brother Matthew Stuckey. New IFB, amen. Who else? Am I missing any? I'm thankful for these men. Thankful for these churches. These are my friends. I love the New IFB, folks, and I will always be the New IFB. Our church will always be the New IFB because this is what we stand for. So this is just a public service announcement for you out there that when you criticize the New IFB, you better use some different code word. Because I'm going to take it personal. My church will take it personal. But it's good that I'm saying this because now whoever hates us will tread lightly the next time they preach a sermon and they're tempted to talk about the New IFB.
Yep.
Watch it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, thank you for the New IFB movement. I'm thankful for the pastors that have influenced me and helped me, Lord. They turned me to righteousness. They turned their church members to righteousness. They helped me to read my Bible more. They help me to pray more. They help me to stand for the truth. This is the fruit. They help tighten up the screws of doctrine and soul winning. They gave depth to our love for the King James Bible. They renewed our love just for the things of God. They helped us to be aware of the end times and be excited over the things that people maybe have lost the love over. No, this is a good movement. This is a great movement. This is a movement that I'm thankful my children will grow up in. And I'm thankful for our church members, Lord. I love my church. I love the people in our church. I'm thankful that you allowed us to cross paths here on this earth so we can do the work of the Lord together.